No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Whether you're dealing with engineering or technology, when you talk about writing and reading, when you're talking about the refinement of speech, when you talk about grammar or the dialectic, or if you're talking about concepts of astronomy or music.
The people from the Nile Valley were the very first people to develop a concept of time. Time is a concept that sprang from the minds of African people. They were the first people to divide the day into 24 hours. They were the first people to develop the calendar, 365 and a quarter days. They were the first people to build with stone. They were the first people to develop systems of education, the first universities. The first, they invented writing. They invented paper. They developed libraries. They were the first physicians, the first psychologists, the first dentists, the first brain surgeons. They were the first governors, the first rulers, the first men and women to orient structures to celestial bodies in order to harness the spiritual energy that's generated within a structure that is properly aligned to celestial spheres. So in other words, they were human beings who knew how to manifest the power of God on earth.
You're quite hostile. I got a right to be hostile, man. My people been
persecuted. I'm violent. In the face of the violence that we've been experiencing for the past 400 years, is actually doing our people a disservice. In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums.
Welcome, welcome everyone to the Melanated Roots Radio Show, brought to you by the Black Talk Radio Network. Today is Monday, March 5th, 2018. So we've been told, and you have a live show for you this evening. Your host for this show is Brother Tommy and Brother Rio. And our topic for today is we're going to deal with two topics today. On the beginning of the show, the first hour, we're going to deal with the confiscation of land from the white South Africans, so-called white. And then on the second half of the show, we are going to deal with the Pentagon has been involved in over 800 Hollywood movies from 1911 to 2017. So we're going to put the movie Black Panther into perspective once we start dealing with the concept of the fact that the Pentagon is approving every show. Okay, if you would like to ask any questions or share some information on this topic, please call 704-802-5056. Once again, that number is 704-802-5056. Also, family, we ask that you would help to support the network so that we can continue to bring programming to the station of, you know, to keep giving the people what they need, a source or a place to come for good, pertinent information. So we ask that you please join the BTR community for $24 per year. It is the best way for you to step up and say, hey, I support Black Talk Radio Network. Not only that, your donations are very much needed as well so that we can continue to grow the platform and bring quality shows to the platform that the audience definitely would deserve. How you feeling, Brother Rio? What's going on?
What's good, family? What's good? Everything is all right with me down here in the ATL. Today's weather was a little cloudy. Wasn't too chilly, though. You know, we got up to the upper 50s, lower 60s. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I can't complain for the most part. Hope everybody had a productive weekend and that you had some time to get in your research and, of course, give time to yourself as well as loved ones and family members. Hope you weren't out there hustling. No, again, but I also understand, you know, we got to do what we got to do.
Yes, sir.
To get where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're back here on a Monday. Again, we got a live show for you today. And, you know, we're going to try to raise some consciousness so that as we go along our journey and we get into where we want to go, we don't lose our soul in the process. So we want to keep our communal ties. And, you know, we want to stay in our right minds. And let's just get it in, brother. You know, we got some interesting topics today.
Yes.
Interesting topics. How you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling good. And I definitely echo your sentiments, Brother Rio. I know we all got to get up and make it happen. You know what I'm saying? But we should be looking to get up and make it happen so we can continue to prepare, continue to get land, so that we can do the things that we can want to do and be self-determining. So we got to get out here and get it because the window definitely is closing. You know, wars and many different things going to kick off. So, you know, it definitely we have to be cognizant of preparation at all times. But I want to share something with you, Brother Rio, before and the family before we get started, if you don't mind.
Oh, most definitely, brother. You have the floor.
Okay. Now, Brother Rio, you know we've been talking about symptomatic thinking versus symbolic thinking. And I just want to show an example where me and you just use symptomatic thinking to get to the core of a problem. Remember when we were talking about it, that symptomatic, a symptom is part of the original problem itself. A symbol is separate from the original problem. So here's where we got to. Now you hear a lot of these gun stores, a lot of these stores that are selling guns are now coming out saying, hey, we're no longer going to sell assault rifles. We're cool with raising the selling of the guns to people who are 21. And it had me thinking, and I came to you, Brother Rio. I said, huh, why would these folks who've been making all this money on selling these guns and proliferating the guns across the country, why all of a sudden are they going to sit here and say, now, we're not going to sell any assault rifles. So what we, instead of looking at that symbolically, what they want us to do, that they were being some benevolent corporation, or these Europeans were turning the corner and being benevolent in some way, what we did is we used our symptomatic thought process. And what we did was follow the signs. And once we started following the signs, Brother Rio, we did the research, and we see that gun sales are in deep decline in the country, right?
Yeah, most definitely.
So they were not in any way, shape, or form trying to be benevolent. What they were doing was they understood and knew the condition of the industry. You got Remington filing bankruptcy. You have a couple other gun manufacturers' sales that have plummeted. So all they're doing is getting ahead of information that they are aware of, that a lot of the masses of people are not aware of, even though it's out there, and making themselves to appear something other than what they are. Well, we'll come out and say, we're no longer selling these guns. We'll get the masses of the people to make it seem like we just can't stand by no more and watch these type of shootings go down. This last shooting was it. We just can't deal with it anymore. Symbolically, there's people buying into that when people are thinking right. Symbolically. But symptomatically, reading the signs let us know, oh, they're up to the same old tricks. we got to the core of the matter by following the signs. What you think about that, Brother Rio?
I agree, Brother Tommy. We recognize it as being a cover story, and you could bear witness to the continuing campaign of the information that's coming out of, you know, people are boycotting the NRA, why they all of a sudden want to boycott the NRA now,
right?
You know, all these, you know, Second Amendment people, you know, they going to go to the opposite extreme as to boycotting the NRA. Now, you know what? Yeah, we were wrong about our Second Amendment rights. Yeah, just take our guns. We don't need them. Yeah.
Right.
Just take them away from everybody, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Cover up, bro.
Cover up. And that's, but I think a lot of people, there's a lot of melanated people who say, yeah, they were aware. They understood that gun sales were in decline. There's other shows that have spoken about it. My dad was telling me how they were discussing it on the Cows compensatory call the other day. So we know that a lot of people who are in the know and conscious are aware of the gun sale decline and gun sales decline in the country. But the majority of people are not. And they will wholeheartedly buy that symbolic thought that these gun makers are putting out. They will all day long and make it seem like, oh, yeah, people are just getting tired of this and we can no longer stand for this anymore. So I just wanted to point that out to show people or give people some examples of how we have to start thinking symptomatically, how we have to start following the signs. We can no longer read the symbols and let the symbols manipulate us anymore and tell us exactly what we should think and how we should think. Like I tell you all the time, Brother Rio, when somebody tells you what a symbol means, that person has mind control over you because they tell you what the symbol means. And when somebody has that type of power, you're in trouble.
We have a caller that has a hand up, Brother Tom.
Yeah, I think Sister Red. That's Sister Red out of Las Vegas. What you got to say, Sister Red?
Hello. Hello, everyone. Thank you for taking my call. Hope y'all are doing all right.
Yes, ma'am.
I feel like I wonder, like, how does, like, gun shows kind of factor into this? Because I know I had mentioned, I can't remember on whose show I mentioned it on, but I'm actually kind of gathering, like, pictures as I drive around, like Southern Nevada,
mm-hmm.
because it seems like every month, if not twice a month, I feel like this month particularly, there are three gun shows at least ever being advertised. There was one, I think, last week. I just actually recently took a picture of, because they take out full billboard ads about, okay, well, we're going to have these gun shows. So I'm like, I can kind of understand, well, maybe the manufacturers, they're not, selling guns like they used to or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like at least here, where one of the quote-unquote worst shootings ever happened, and I've said on some other shows, it's like it's kind of I don't want to say that is funny, but it's interesting how people here won't even reference it as a shooting. They just say October 1st, mm-hmm. and we're all supposed to have some kind of collective understanding of, oh, October 1st, that automatically means shooting. No, a white terrorist shot up a bunch of white people. It's white-on-white crime. Let's not just say it's almost like to Vegas, that's like their September 11th type of terminology.
Right.
But anyways, it just seems like, I think it's kind of, you know, I'm just kind of wondering, like, how does that factor in? And I remember seeing some, it might have been like a documentary where they were following this person who was, I think it even actually might have been on Vice, mm-hmm. where they were following this person who said that he could just buy guns and he didn't have to have any type of background check or anything like that. So even though they're saying, oh, well, we're going to take all these bump stocks off because that's what happened after, quote-unquote, October 1st,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't necessarily stop the private, you know, gun shows or even, like, the private sales or trading of these bump stocks or automatic rifles. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there in the atmosphere. But thank you for allowing me to share.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Red. Definitely appreciate that input and definitely want to hear what you have to say on the next topic about the South African white folks crying and complaining. Then we're going to get into the CIA and their control of the movies. But, Brother Real, I feel what she's saying, but I'm looking at it from the standpoint that the manufacturers of guns, those who manufacture guns coming out of their plants, is on the decline, and some of them are in bankruptcy.
Well, no question about that. I mean, they're showing that on paper. But, you know, I'm of the opinion that, you know, when the need for guns is needed, you know, the people know how to get them as far as, you know, the government and the powers that be. So that's another reason why we as a community should be giving up our guns. But you know that campaigns are going to be ramping up, you know, maybe the buyback programs and different things of that nature, to get the guns out of, you know, the common people as they would view it, you know, possession.
Yeah. And Brother Rio, I think we also got to look at it from the standpoint that these guns have been flying off the shelf for many years now. And, you know, it's kind of like the TVs. They're going down in price and dropping hard because everybody and their mama got one. So you got, you know, homes all across the country with 5, 10, 15, 20. I was dealing, you know, met this white guy the other day. He told me he had 27 guns. So it's saturated. Everybody and their mama got one. And so, and I think the industry itself recognizes that. And therefore, they're going to now try to make themselves look benevolent when they've been proliferating guns all across the country for I don't know how long.
Yes, sir. And also, you know, it can also go with the blueprint of, you know, that we've seen with these natural disasters, it may legitimize their strategy of pretty much going door to door because, you know, everybody's pretty much got a gun, mm-hmm. or access to a gun. So, you know, it just legitimizes their, I don't want to say authority, but their strategy, mm-hmm. to just go, you know, knocking on doors. Hey, We know you got a gun in the house, or, you know, there was a gun that was registered to this residence, or, you know, we got trackers, we got tips. They're not gonna tell you, but, you know, they're just gonna say we got reason to believe that there may be some ammunition or guns in the house, so we're just gonna search. You know, if there's no guns, then you got nothing to worry about. You know, if it is, then we'll be confiscating those. But it's just another excuse to get access to people's property. And it could be used as a scare tactic as well. So,
yes, sir. So I just wanted to highlight that, you know, we all have to start thinking symptomatically. Okay, Brother Rio, what we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and get into our first topic. And it's going to be the white farmer's land will be confiscated or seized. And I noticed, Brother Rio, in all these articles, they keep throwing up out there without compensation, as if these white folks paid for it. You know, you see what I'm saying? But we're going to get into that a little deeper. But what we're going to do, Brother Rio, we're going to hit you with a quick little video. It's only about 2 minutes. that kind of set the stage for this, and then we're going to get into it. We definitely are interested and want to hear what the family has to say and the family's opinion of this, and, you know, look at it from many different angles and see what we can deduce from the conversation. You have anything to say, Brother Rio, before we go to the video?
No, sir. We'll come back on the other side and we'll break it down.
Okay, here we go.
Now, the South African Parliament has voted in favour of new legislation that could see land seized from white farmers. Under the plans, white farmers would be stripped of their land with no compensation, although this does run against the Constitution, which would have to be amended. Here's what the man behind the initiative had to say about it.
The time for reconciliation is over. Now is the time for justice. We must ensure that we restore the dignity of our people without compensating the criminals who stole our land.
Julius Malema there is something of a controversial figure in South Africa. He has been convicted of hate speech, and back in 2016 he said he was not calling for the slaughter of white people, at least not yet. Despite that, though, the country's former president, Jacob Zuma, has described him as a future leader. The rate of murders and violent attacks on farmers and landowners has risen in recent years, and according to official figures, 72% of the country's farmers are white. Earlier, we put the issue up for debate.
People do not own land in South Africa legally. White people arrived here from Europe in 1652. They killed our people, they stole our land, they oppressed us. All the land they have is land that was taken from us by force and in many instances by massacres.
We all visitors to South Africa, including the black tribes of South Africa that came from the north, that is well documented. How they came in and they killed each other for the land and took the possession of the other black tribes. The first occupants of South Africa were the Khoi and the Sun. So if there's an argument now who owns the land, that should be the Khoi and the Sun.
A person like the one who is now my opponent is a foreigner in South Africa and a land thief. And in fact, talking about the Khoi San, I am Khoi San. He can't say my surname, Mngitama. Ask him to say it. He doesn't. He can't because he's a foreigner. I even worried that the parliament is moving slow and politicians, we don't trust them. They are using this land thing as a political ball instead of addressing the issue.
This legislation could actually be changed to satisfy the white farmers as well.
There's a lot of corruption involved, and that's why the whole process of land that was taken from people legally in the past and to be returned to them is not going as it should go. You see this I'm holding in front of me, that is the issue. If this goes on, investment in this country would stop. People won't invest in the country. We'll go the same way as Zimbabwe. There won't be production. And then we'll have an Arabic spring in South Africa about food that's not available to the people of South Africa.
Okay. So what that was an indigenous Khoi San and a white South Afrikaner. And the point the white South African or the Boer was making is that the Northern African tribes came in and pushed out the original Southern South Afrikaner who was there. So the people who truly own the land are the Khoi San or the Khoi San, the San people, as we know. And the brother who was an indigenous melanated was letting the guy know, I am Khoi San. you're talking about me. I am of the original people. Then he spoke in his native tongue with the click language, you know, to basically show that. So you have these white folks that want black people to assume that it ain't the black people who are doing all the work on the farms in the first place. Because, yeah, you have 73% of the farmland in South Africa is owned by white people. Stolen by white people, but they want to give you the impression that the black Africans aren't the ones running these farms, that they're not the ones who have the cultivation knowledge, who have the understanding of the land, who have the understanding of rearing crops and agriculture in their native land. So they want to give the impression, Brother Rio, that if you get rid of these white farmers, the agriculture is going to stop, the people are going to starve. As if black people are not the ones working the land in the first place. You feel me?
Hey, also, he tried to insinuate that in the past they acquired that land, quote unquote, legally, mm-hmm. and he even made reference to the similar scenario in Zimbabwe, which I could only imagine that he was talking about the way that they took back the land from the colonizers over in Zimbabwe, and those colonizers have not been compensated yet.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that he was trying to allude that, you know, the farmers, the colonized farmers in South Africa were going to get the shaft similarly, which I ain't got no problem with because they are colonizers. So they don't have any kind of title or inheritance to the land.
Right.
So they don't need no compensation. They've been on it long enough. They didn't compensate, you know, the people that they got it from, you know. And if they want to cry their we attained it legally, well, we know that they came in and they set up the legal game. So that ain't saying much.
Right. Right. And I think I heard Brother Ross saying it on when they hosted Tando's show, cuz I listened to him, and he was saying that the perfect word for these people is colonizers. That is the perfect word, and I think Brother Ross will come on and explain it a little further. The perfect word to explain these people. Here you are not indigenous anywhere, and then you come in and steal, rape, kill, and plunder the people of the land, and then have a nerve, the audacity to make it seem as you are somehow being mistreated or being done wrong. It really lets you know that, I mean, they're lucky they're not losing this land at the hand of violence. You know what I'm saying? Because they took it at the hand of violence, and they're lucky they're not losing it at the hand of violence. Because when black folks decide to stand up all over the world, this is what these colonizers are going to be faced with, Brother Real. No ifs, and buts about it. And I'm about to come to you, Brother Thomas. I want to make one statement before I come to you, brother. Would you recognize, Brother Thomas, that this is an example where Africans are standing up?
Absolutely, man. I was very proud of the Africans. Hold on, let me put this mm-hmm. closer to my mouth. I was very proud of the Africans for what they did. And I think that they're being punished for it, though.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't noticed, today they put out something saying that the meat from South Africa is all contaminated with listeria.
Mm.
And so everyone stopped the imports of South African beef and products of meat, sausages and things like that. And then also they're facing a water crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that white people have set it up. So, okay, you want your land back. You're going to be thirsty pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how that works now. What would impress me, Brother Tommy and Rio, good evening to y'all.
Yes, sir.
What would impress me is if they go and take back the mines. Now, if they go take back the mines, then I got, you know, the utmost respect. I'm like, okay, that's what I'm talking about. And if they take back the mines, we might have to go over there and help them, you know what I'm saying, because it's going to be coming. But let's just say the land in Africa that the Europeans have converted into their farmland, they have a system where that food that they pick and grow in Africa, it gets back to Europe within a day.
Mm.
And it's in the shelves of the store the next day. So they have the best food, the best fruit, the best vegetables. If you go look at a grocery store, just a grocery store in London on YouTube, and see that where we have potato chips, they have fresh herbs and spices and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally different how they've taken all this great stuff from Africa, and all these years, I mean, yeah, they've eaten healthy. I mean, white people live longer and everything. I mean, they're taking all the indigenous herbs and spices and roots and selling it in their stores so they could get, you know, stronger and eat right. and they're giving everybody else garbage, you know? I did want to say about the guns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, prior to Trump's administration, let's not forget we had 8 straight years of record-breaking gun sales under Obama. White mm-hmm. people were definitely feeling like they were threatened by the ex-commander-in-chief.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Obama effect, which is his utter ineffectiveness to mention black people, has lured these young black people, young white people to sleep. These young kids, they realize that their parents and grandparents have all these guns for black people,
right.
Not for no other reason.
Right.
Just in case there's an insurrection or something, they're prepared.
Right.
So, you know, I'm for it, man. I'm all for the gun control. We always had gun control in the ghettos, and I'm in New York. I mean, you'd be doing 8.5 for having a gun.
Right.
You know, I'm all for the gun control. Let it be nationwide. We're going to have ours. You know, we've been concealing our weapons for years. They haven't. So that's just going to affect this jump.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother, let me ask you one more question before you ride on this, Brother Thomas. Do you not agree,
yes,
brother?
Sir.
Do you not agree, Brother Thomas, that the natives, the indigenous people, were the ones, for the most part, working the land? We do know that 73% of the land, or the farmland, was owned by white boers or invaders, colonizers. But do you not agree that the science was within the minds of the indigenous people, my brother?
Absolutely. And what's killing me is how Warren Buffett. Son is he has, of course, Warren Buffett, Michael Bloomberg, Oprah Winfrey, and a whole bunch of other billionaires have left over 90% of their wealth to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So what Warren Buffett's son is doing is he's on a crusade to go to Africa and teach them how to farm. And how are you going to teach the Africans how to farm? How you learn how to farm, fool?
Right.
But he's teaching them how to farm with GMO stuff. You know, which is going to mess up all that good soil. So that's this is all part of the Agenda 21. They have to depopulate Africa so they could take the resources. And a huge part of that was going to be causing famine and causing water crises. And that's, I think, South Africa's ground zero. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Boers aren't going to leave for a little while before they come back. You know, while things are bad in Africa. And they'll be back in 20 years to claim what was theirs before. But it's just something that is real odd that either that or the consciousness on the continent is rising. However, I don't think so, because it seems to only be rising in that southern region. Where's the rest of the continent on rising at? So I'm thinking that this is all being conscripted by white supremacists, man.
Yes, sir. How you feeling? Yes, sir, Brother Thomas. And we definitely want to hear what you got to say on the CIA as well. And chime in whenever you're ready. How you feeling, Brother Rio? Go ahead. What's your thoughts on that?
I think he was on point. I would like to point out that I think they are going about it the right way. I think it would be a very tremendous statement if they did take over the mines. But we know that in order to have a nation, you're going to have to have land and you're going to have food. So, because you're going to have to support yourself. So I think they are, addressing their base needs by trying to regain the land so that they can grow their own food and distribute their own food, because that's going to address their poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And once you can address the poverty, then you can get, you know, the minds of the people to think on a higher level, maybe, you know, show some unity. And be in a position to take the mine. So, I think they took bold first steps, and, as well as the retaliation that they are receiving that Brother Thomas alluded to, you know, we knew that it was going to come. And, let's see how the rest of the continent and, you know, the rest of the globe, you know, responds.
Yes,
and,
yes sir.
You know, they definitely, like you said, they stood up and, let's see if everybody else is ready to follow suit.
You know,
stand up and kick in like men.
Yeah, you know,
good phrase from a movie.
You know what I would like to do, and I'm gonna put this question on Brother Roz. Brother Roz, Is it a white supremacist move that has influenced this entire thing? Or is the African consciousness raising up? And are we going to continue to see more examples of black people standing up and or melanated people standing up and willing to take control of their own destiny? Or, like Brother Thomas alluded to, possibly is the white man making certain moves that they're going to be able to capitalize within a short period of time? How you feeling, Brother Roz?
Hey, peace, peace to you, to Brother Rio, to Thomas, all the other callers and listeners.
Mm-hmm.
This is an interesting turn of events because when I was talking to you before the show started,
mm-hmm.
I meant to tell you that when we had talked about that land grab scenario last Friday, Brother General was bringing up the fact that the same leader, Ramaphosa, who is saying that they're going to take this land just like a month or two before said that they were not going to do it.
Hmm.
So he seems to be flip-flopping. First it was no, we're not. Now they're saying they are. So we have to see how that plays out. What I think is happening as far as the continent is concerned, I just think that what they need is just an example, just one example. And it's been hard to get an example because white people have been so systematically successful at killing anybody who is about black liberation, especially Pan-Africans on the continent, whether you're talking about Steve Biko, who basically coined the term black for South African people.
Mm-hmm.
He really was pushing that whole agenda of them being black people in the South. Of course, you got Patrice Lumumba, who they call the Malcolm X of the continent, due to his Pan-African stance and him wanting to have the Congo be an autonomous region and really govern themselves. So because of the success they've had over all of these years of killing people who are anti the system of white supremacy, it's going to be very, very hard for them to facilitate it, because then you've got AFRICOM coming from West Africa, mm-hmm. and they are just, I mean, whether it's Mali, Nigeria, Burkina Faso, that whole Western African region that they've been commandeering at this point, all in the so-called name of fighting in the Western part of the continent, that's where the U.S. has a major foothold.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, if they had the example and then they had leaders that had the backbone to actually do something, like the last person who really had a stance that was substantial was Gaddafi. Like, Gaddafi really set the precedent, and they had him stoned to death on TV for people to see.
Right there on national TV.
His body. So they're giving you the example of what happens to people who do that. But I think that these first steps for South Africa are actually great, because the truth is, if you think about it, how is it that you rob me and then you're going to tell me that when I take what's mine, I need to give you compensation?
Right.
Now, that's the psychology of white supremacy. I can be a thief, and because I'm the person who's in charge, I'm supreme, even when you as my victim take what's yours, you still owe me. That's Haiti.
Mm.
That's Haiti right there.
Yes, it is.
Haiti's been paying in perpetuity ever since their independence for the same thing that South Africans are doing right now.
Yeah.
And that is the way that we have been, as a global people, psychosocially conditioned to the hierarchy of white supremacy. And it's not just us, it's all non-white people.
Yeah, Brother Ross.
Whenever we approach white people, it's always from a position where they're higher than us, and we are making petitions to them.
Right.
So when we get to the point, like Dr. John Henry Clark used to always say, you know, oppressed people, they're the ones who define what freedom is. You can't go to your oppressor and expect them to provide you with what you perceive as true freedom. You have to set the precedent. You take your freedom. You take everything back. And then you set the stage for what happens as far as justice is concerned afterwards.
Right, right.
The way that we have all been going at it is basically, let's ask the white folks to give us our stuff back.
Right.
Let's give them whatever they ask for, just compensation. What is just compensation for a thief and a murderer and a genocidal maniac?
Right.
So these are the things that we have to literally just discard.
So, that's Brother Roz,
of them being high.
So, yes, Brother Roz, so go ahead and speak. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and speak that to. Do you think it's organic? Is this consciousness growing? Are we seeing a movement on the continent, or is the situation being manipulated?
I think it could. It's too early to say that it's a movement per se.
Mm-hmm.
I just think we're hearing the rumblings of a potential shift in how African people see themselves in relation to the system of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the same shift that I think would have to happen here. They're understanding that, wait a minute, y'all are colonizers. You took this land. We're giving it back to the people you took it from. But they're in a different position there because there's way more of them than the white folks. There aren't as many of us here as far as what they're saying, numerically speaking, to do what they did. But it's the same concept of just understanding the relationship you have.
Mm-hmm.
Just the term that they use by calling them colonizers, you're establishing right there that you are unjust. your presence here is unwanted and unjust, and we need to do something about that. If we call them white people, or we're calling them people, or anything that humanizes them as far as skewing our perception of who and what they really are,
mm-hmm.
that's why I said the term colonizer, I think, is a great term, because it literally just describes everything that they are, the fact that they don't belong where they are, that they're not indigenous, and it also pays homage to the original colonizer, Columbus. That's where the term comes from. It's his name, Cristobal Colon. So when you say colonizer, you're talking about literally the original colonizer. And I think that when we're able to properly use words to elucidate truth, as far as that term colonizer, it elucidates truth from, you know, the first time we contacted them up to this very minute in every country that they don't belong in.
Yes, sir.
So I think that in and of itself, just changing the language can cause a revolution in consciousness that can create a situation where globally black people start to come to this realization, and globally black people say, you know what, we got to do something about these folks because they really don't belong here. They do not belong here. They came here. They took what they took under the threat of genocide, death, and every other heinous act that a human being can commit against another human being, and we need to make sure that every time we speak of them, that's what you think of. And I think one of the best words that help you to think that way all the time is colonizer.
Right.
Also, when you look at the Congo, when the Belgian people left the Congo, and you can see this when you watch the movie Lumumba, mm-hmm. starring Eric Ebune.
Yeah.
When they pulled up out of the Congo, they took everything that wasn't nailed down. They took the desk. They took every chair. They took paintings. They took toilet paper. They took everything that they claimed they brought to that country. And by the time they left, the Congo had nothing. And that's why they're impoverished right now.
Yeah.
They literally were like tearing up train tracks. Like every bit of infrastructure that they built prior to being ousted, as far as the white people then handing power over to Patrice Lumumba and the black Africans, they demolished everything that they claimed that they built. So basically, the Congo went back to what it was, not even before, because before it was functional. It was
right.
Traditional African systems to what it first colonized.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying is going to happen wherever it was when it was indigenous people or melanated people oust white people. That's what's going to happen everywhere. If black people in America eventually get white people out of here, you think they're going to leave all of them train tracks going from east to the west coast? And they're going to leave infrastructure there for you, or they're going to leave something like toilet paper for you to wipe your backside. They're going to be like, you need to build your own paper factory.
Right.
We did this. You know what I mean? So we have to be fully prepared. Like when I was saying this before about us literally having our children get the proper educational training and understanding about how to build infrastructure. So when we instate our version of what freedom looks like and justice looks like, they can take whatever they want as far as what's not theirs. They're not going to take that.
Right.
And then we would have the ability to actually set up our own thing. Or we should have that in place before they leave.
Right.
We should be already making our own stuff before they leave. So when they leave, you can just go. We don't need nothing from you.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Keep it moving.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say, but Thomas brought up a great idea, a great thought about the farming situation with them using the Monsanto GMO seeds. Now, if you've been studying the farming situation in India, I was studying that quite acutely last year, and they lost over 30,000 farmers in India in 1 year that all committed suicide due to the fact that they were using those GMO seeds. And when the seeds became too expensive, since their seeds don't create more seeds, you have to keep going back like a drug addict to go get more seeds from Monsanto to put more seeds in the ground.
Right.
And then the seeds actually terraform the ground so that you can never plant the organic non-GMO products in that soil anymore. So the Indian people went from using their natural seeds to using the Monsanto seeds. And when they became too expensive, they tried to flip back to their natural stuff, and none. And the farmers were getting so depressed from not having these crops that they were committing suicide. And it was at 30,000, the last that I saw in 1 year, that committed suicide. Mm. So I could see that happening everywhere. Africa, I could see that happening here. China, because China's starting to get deeply embedded with the Monsanto products as well, the GMO products.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is they're making the entire planet is going to become unlivable. They're going to basically terraform everywhere. These seeds are going to terraform everywhere on the planet that chooses to use the Monsanto product,
you know,
or
I'm,
any GMO-based product. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. You know what I'm curious about, and Brother Rhea also want to know, and I think Brother Thomas, I want to know from you as well. When did this water crisis start? Can you reflect back, Brother Roz, on, or Brother Thomas, Brother Rhea, anybody on when? And Brother Jerry, we coming to you. I see you at 423. Can anybody reflect back on
that time? But I know it was a few months ago is when it started brewing. I first started hearing rumblings of it. Mm-hmm. Was probably, we're now in what, March? Mm-hmm. I would say probably like around November of last year was when I first started hearing rumblings of the water situation getting worse. And then as the months progressed, they were just saying it's becoming more and more dire. And then like I think they had passed the threshold like maybe a week or two ago. They had passed what they call the zero threshold, which is where they were going to shut off the water for everybody and start rationing out the water. Now,
have they spoke about any ways to replenish the water or any ways out of this water crisis? Have they been speaking about that?
Well, what I've been seeing them seeing at least discussed in reference to that is what Israel's doing, because Israel actually, I think they have a way of changing seawater into fresh water. They have this whole, you know, in that area, they are always under drought. So they have developed a way of changing, I believe, if I remember correctly, be changing seawater to fresh water. And they were saying that South Africa, if they start to implement something similar, they would no longer have to worry about a drought. And they also said that Israel has stockpiles of water as well.
So am I mistaken? That I remember me and my dad having this conversation several times. Doesn't Africa have one of the largest underground freshwater aquifers in the world?
I know in Libya, in that area, they do. That matter of fact, that is how Gaddafi had ended up supplying water to the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
He started tapping the aquifers because underneath the Sahara Desert, remember, in ancient times, it was a lush rainforest and savanna.
Right.
So there is quite a bit of underground water that's untapped in that region. I don't know if it's the same in South Africa, because South Africa, that area has been has had severe desertification for many, many millennia, and it hasn't really changed. So it might be they might actually have water under there. Or it could be a situation where, like, if you follow elephants, they'll know where to go to tap water in the dry season. So it could be something like that, or it could be very similar to Libya, which would indicate, you know, that there is tappable water underneath the soil that they might need to look into. I don't know, but I know about that area in Libya. That's absolutely the case. There's tons and tons of water up there. And Gaddafi had figured out successfully how to tap it in order to supply his people with running water. So, I'd like to hear everybody else's input on it. And lastly, I was going to say about thing. A brother I went to high school with who got a 5mm bullet straight up in New York City.
Mm.
He got caught after school because brothers used to actually weld their guns and repair their guns in the middle of shot class equipment. And he was one of them brothers. And I remember after school, one day he got caught. And he just got caught with a bullet, and they gave him 2 years. So as far as New York and this, like Thomas was saying, their gun situation is strict as all get up. And like he said, we've been concealing stuff. That's how stuff happens in New York. You say something crazy to somebody, and they got you know, a hammer on them, they're going to pull it on you.
Right.
Get them mad enough. And whereas, like he was saying, with white people, you know, open carry states, they're running around with AR-15s right in the back of their truck, you know, bodies and everything.
Walking so down the street
to
with happen,
them. It's going to affect them, not us.
Yeah.
Like Thomas was saying, I think that was a brilliant observation. So, yeah, with that, I'm going to mute my line and give everybody else a chance to speak. I hope I didn't take too long.
No,
thanks,
you,
brothers. Peace and love.
You good, you good, Brother Roz. Brother Rio, what's on your mind before we go to Brother Jerry?
Nothing, man. He was dropping. I didn't know anything about the water shortage that was going on in the area. But again, you know, I think that is, like you said, I believe it's going to have to play itself out for us to, you know, identify if it is, you know, exactly what it is, whether it's a plot or whether it's a raising consciousness. Because if the surrounding communities, you know, come to aid with water or other resources to keep this consciousness going, you know, then I think we can definitely say that, hey, you know, we actually starting to pull together and we starting to do some things. But if they just going to stand by and watch and see what happens, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, we don't want them to come attacking us like that, then, you know, it's just divide and conquer again.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Brother Jerry, how you doing this evening, sir? What's on your mind?
Greetings, greetings. My apologies. I had to unmute myself. How are y'all brothers doing this evening?
Doing very good, brother. Well, how you doing, bro?
Well, Brother Jerry.
Still learning, bro. Still learning. I hate coming behind Brother Thomas, man. He seems like he always picking my brain from afar. Because I'm coming in with the exact opposite point of view, though. And he made one of my points was as far as South Africans taking the land. Where outside, like Brother Roz had mentioned, where outside of Haiti have we seen us take the land? We haven't.
That's
we haven't seen that. And it should be very peculiar to all of us that this is going down, like you said, Brother Tommy, through litigation per se. Having nobody had their head chopped off to take the land back. And then it's been going on, and they trying to play democracy right now. I think that's very telling, considering that because not only us here using this term colonizers, which is the most efficient term, but this is being thrown around so much. Is it not peculiar that this happens right during the Black Panther phase that's going across the entire globe?
Mm-hmm.
And now we have, like I had mentioned when I first brought this story up, that the president stated that they wasn't taking the land back. And now he's saying that it's that they're taking the land back. I said that was the first thing we have to check out.
So why, Brother Jerry, why you think the change of direction? You think that's being influenced, kind of set up? What you coming with?
Well, this is what I'm. This is where I'm going. I just have to, you know, you got to set the pins up before you throw the ball down.
Okay, yes, sir.
So you know, it like I say, that's very interesting. And then we go to what we went to what Brother Ross said as far as like this is Haiti. What they're talking about? They couldn't because of all of the tarps and stuff. Brother Thomas was mentioning about how efficient they are with getting those crops out to Europe. Well, we know that's gone now that our brothers and sisters are taking over the land over there. He mentioned about the drought. The drought started in November of 2015.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
this has been, like you stated, is this a plan? Me personally, I could be wrong. I have been wrong many times before. But I feel like this was the perfect time for them to relinquish that. Because they get to give it away with somebody feeling like they have succeeded in something. And what we always say, they are master deceptors. So now, not only are they losing exports from the U.S. and from Europe and all other countries in between, but they have somebody preying on them via Monsanto's germinated seeds and what have you, that's going to destroy the land even more than it has been. Because remember, this land has had no rest. They continuously pull the nutrients out of that land for decades on decades. That takes a toll on the land. And for anybody who is as smart as these people are, they see opportunity long before it comes. And it just seems like the perfect opportunity. From my, from the point of view that I'm looking at this particular moment, it seems like it's the perfect opportunity to give that up. And remember, on Friday, I was stating about the art of war. You leave so people will miss you more. So when you come back, you can make all of the rules and nobody say a thing. So what will happen? The nutrients in the ground from the natural seeds has already been used to its maximum because of the nonstop planting on this particular land. So then we bring in the Monsantos, and then that kills the land. Like you said, one of the options is not be able to afford it because, like Brother Ryle said, they constantly have to replenish that, not with seeds of their own that's being that's coming out of the actual fruits and vegetables, but by these GMOs. That kills the land even more. Now you have to find out, because this is not a natural occurrence, so you have to go outside of your tradition and your culture to be able to fix that. So who do you go to? You go to the people, unfortunately, we go to the people who was there beforehand and ask them what we need to do. So I think I personally think that this is a very, very calculated scheme that's going on. And it just so happens why everybody's pride is up, because like we say, we know that movies, television, news, social media, all of that, all of those are propaganda tools.
Yes, they are.
Most of us don't know that. So you put something out there that's so great. It's so great from first glance. And people want to enact that. And this is great. Like I said, we have to be mindful how we see these things.
Yes, sir.
Because it sounds great that they're taking back the land, but they've been killing us over there even up to today. Killing us for a lot less.
Yeah.
And now we are supposed to believe that they're taking the land back from all of those white people and nothing has happened.
And Brother Jerry, I think, you know, if you really look at the way they're taking their land back, and if you go back to the movie Black Panther, you could see that propaganda, because the last thing that they wanted to show in the movie Black Panther is Killmonger's attitude of, okay, getting the rest of the black people to thinking exactly the way he thinks, and to take and take that war to the people, to the colonizers worldwide, and physically remove them. I mean, to look at this situation to where they're being diplomatic, they're using legislation, changing constitutions, things of that nature, when the bottom line is, I hate to say it, we got to get to the point. I don't even hate to say it. You got to get to the point to where, hey, sooner or later, maybe off with your head, because that's the way you came in. And the reality is, a lot of these Europeans, that is the only thing that they, that's the only language that they know how to speak. So me and my dad was talking about that the other day as well. I think that's a big aspect of the propaganda of the Black Panther movie, that, yeah, you guys are feeling this way, and you guys do indigenously own these things. But in order for you to come forward, you have to be diplomatic about it. When black folks, like Malima said, we're not in a position to be diplomatic no more. If we really want to take back our self-identity and self-determination, diplomacy ain't going to work, and not with this devil. It just ain't going to work.
Think about this, Brother Thomas.
Yes, sir, Jerry.
With all of this talk of diplomacy, even though we only have a flash in a pan here in America, because we know we don't operate on diplomacy. And for everybody who does, remember that we live in a republic. So whoever is elected, they make the rules, bar none. Mm-hmm. You have nothing to do with it. This is the only place that does that. So when we go into these other places, how come they had not, why haven't they done this before?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in coincidences. So I'm going to ease back. I just wanted to add that point in. As far as the guns and what have you, just like brother, just like all of y'all said, you know, this is a scare tactic,
mm-hmm.
as far as the guns, because yes, like you mentioned, so many guns have been stolen. This is just a way for them to add on to their gun sales. Well, we know they so emotional about this. If we bring this up, then maybe we'll get this reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody was making the point about this whole, if a whole bunch of black men, when it started buying rifles, then they'll close it up. And I hate to say it, it's a lot of people that's mad about that stereotyping and what have you, but it's not like it's nothing new. We've seen that with the actual Black Panther group. That's why, just like in New York, you can't have guns for pretty much same way out in out west.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these things are not new. It's just that we don't pay attention to so much. What's the phrase, Brother Roz? Very serious about not being serious.
Right.
And this is one of those things. You know, it looked good right now, but in hindsight, you're like, man, how come I ain't catch that?
Right.
But once again, with that being said, I'm going to mute myself, and thank you for your time, brothers.
Yes, sir, Brother Jerry. Very real deep remarks and having a strong handle on the situation. You know, I agree with pretty much everything you said. I really want to say that, you know, this is a consciousness growing and black folk willing to stand up. You know, I really want to say that, but I do agree that it has to play itself out for us to really see the strings that are being pulled behind the scenes. Brother Thomas, you got some information for us on this water drought, when it started, and how it could be strategically playing into the current situation, Brother Thomas?
Absolutely, I do. Well, I'm going to tell you, when I first heard about this, but before I even get into that, you know, I think when you look at places where people took their land back, by force, Haiti,
mm-hmm.
you know, for sure. But when you talk about doing it lawfully, I think that, you know, we did a pretty good job after slavery, and then they changed the laws.
Mm-hmm.
It took all that stuff back from us, especially in the South, where we had seeds and, you know, all that stuff. But the seeds don't kill the land. The Monsanto seeds don't kill the land. What kills the land is the Roundup. They call it Roundup if you go to the store and get it. But anything, weed whacker, any that spray, that's what kills the soil. Because if you spray that on a tree, it'll start turning the tree brown. You know, you spray it on the weed. So when you use these seeds, the point of these seeds is get rid of farming. So you just drop airplanes of this Roundup down, it'll kill everything but the seed.
Mm.
And you don't have to pay a bunch of people to go do the work. But that kills the soil. So now that soil only can take another Monsanto.
Mm-hmm.
The seeds are okay. I mean, they're GMO, but you could put it in your own house. And as long as you're not using Roundup, you could use that soil again. It's just when they use that Roundup in it, I call it Roundup because that's what, you know, when I used to live in Jersey and we had a lawn, you know, that was my saving grace.
Right,
you know,
right.
My mother bought some Roundup. I zapped
it. It's got the biggest market share.
2 days later. I didn't hear you, sir.
I said Roundup got the biggest market share in that arena.
And that's owned by Monsanto.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So that's what kills the land. Jerry made a great point, because all of this talk about what's going on in Africa at the midst of the Black Panther, it's like they almost set it up that way.
Mm-hmm.
I first heard about the drought in Africa in 2004, and mm-hmm. That got me doing some research. And so I went back and just pulled out my notebook here. So 1992, you have something called Agenda 21.
Mm-hmm.
And that's followed by the green agenda. People call it sustainable development. They used to call it a depleted ozone layer. They have a lot of names for it. Global warming, that's what they call this. But if you go back in time, you have something called the South African. I'm gonna give you the exact name right here. Southern African Development Community,
mm-hmm.
and this was created in November 1981. So this is how far back this goes. So this is from their original document when they created this, and about the SADC. That's the acronym for it. In November 1981, the Council of Ministers of South African Development Coordination Conference decided to entrust the government of Lesotho with the responsibilities for coordinating regional activities related to soil and water conservation and land utilization. And then it goes on further. I'm going to put this in on BTR Community.
Okay.
I'll find the original PDF for it that I got it from. But if you look at it now, they have a huge water crisis in South Africa, mm-hmm. right? And all this is being excluded in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, green agenda is kicking in because they just moved a whole bunch of tigers and lions down there.
Okay.
Built a whole reserve, an island with fresh water all around it for these lions and tigers. That's the green agenda, where they're going to take your land for conservation, for all types of things. So what I'm seeing is, when I'm looking at this stuff, I'm like, man, this is really true. Like, all this stuff I thought was conspiracy theories back when I used to study this, and Delbert Blair and Phil Valentine and all them used to constantly say this in their videos, and I wrote all this stuff down back when I first got into this stuff, and I'm seeing it play out, and it's like, man, I think they're falling for the okey-doke. That's my, you know, like, you shouldn't be doing this right now.
Right.
You know, if you're going to take it back, take it all back. The fact that they're just taking back bits and pieces just lets me think that this is being construed to play out this way for a reason, that it's not going to benefit them in the long term.
Wow. Yeah, wow. I appreciate that. Go ahead. Who was that, Brother Jerry?
Yes. Real quick, I agree with everything except for the beginning with Brother Thomas, and I ain't want to interrupt him, but the GMO seeds, this is what it does to your land. The GMO seeds, it transmutates your soil. What does that mean? That means that if you use anything other than a GMO seed, you will not produce crops.
Ooh.
So that's mean by it destroys the land, because the nutrients that you would get from your I don't like to use organic anymore, mm-hmm. because after they changed the laws.
Let's just say anything. Natural seed. Let's say natural seeds.
Yes. If you use a natural seed after you plant it in the soil that has had GMO seeds, you no longer have you won't produce crops. And on top of that, if you use GMO seeds, then Monsanto's can claim property of the crops that you own via what is it? Not intellectual property, but
mm-hmm. Yes, it is. You're right. No, it is.
Is intellectual,
intellectual property?
Okay, yeah. So they can claim Monsanto seeds because of that.
Not necessarily the land. The seeds are very aggressive, and they will take over any organic crops or any other crops that are in the area with the whatever it is that Monsanto has patented within the GMO seed. They can test these other surrounding crops, and once it's found to have that trademark or that registered patent, whatever it is, element, then they take over those crops, whether it's from the next farm over, they taking it all.
It's cross-pollination. Yes. And now, Brother Tommy, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. You're from Kansas, am I correct?
Nebraska.
Okay. Well, in Kansas, they have been having, and you can't quote me off of this because I'm going off the top of my head, because mm-hmm. I've been diving into this GMO thing for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say at least the last 5 years, the farmers up in Kansas fighting a lot, because when the wind blows, anybody who knows anything about the geographical area, you know, it's flat. It's flat. So when the wind blows real strong, it cross-pollinates with the farmers who do not participate in GMOs.
Right.
And Monsanto's has been taking over those plants, those farms also. So it's a very big detriment that's going on. So I just wanted to make that correction because it destroys the land. And when I say it destroys it, what I mean is when you have heirloom seeds, that's what I was trying to think of. When you have heirloom seeds and you put it in the ground that has been occupied by GMO seeds, you produce nothing. That's what I mean by it destroys the ground. With that said, again, I'll mute my line.
Yes, sir. Brother
Jerry, I think you, I'm sorry, Brother Thomas.
No, go ahead, Brother Rio. I was letting you go ahead and ride. Because what we're going to do, Brother Rio, go ahead and clean this up. We're going to let Roz close this out. And then we're going to go to a quick commercial break and then come to our second topic. So go ahead and say what you got to say, Brother Rio. We're going to let Roz close it up, and we'll go from there.
I think Brother Jerry hits on a very, very excellent and tangible point as to Monsanto taking over these farms from cross-pollination. And what are they doing with these farms at this time? They just shutting them down. But what do we know to be true at this particular time? You got these boers who are petitioning to come and get access into the United States. What is our government going to do with these quote unquote South African farmers?
Right.
With all these empty farms that are just doing nothing now.
Yeah. And Brother Rio, I'd like to follow up. And what status are these boers coming over as? And are they going to be classified as white?
They already telling you. they already calling them white South Africans.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So they obviously going to come over as white.
Right.
But, you know, I won't get started on my platform because that'll take us in a totally different direction. But, I think that is one thing that we need to nip in the bud. And, as Brother Roz was saying, calling them colonizers or changing the vocabulary in which we use, we empower ourselves by defining them or exposing them for who they are. We really aren't defining, we're just exposing them for who they really are.
Right.
But that's a topic for another time, brother. So, at that point, I'll go ahead and digress. And Brother Roz, go ahead and clean it up.
Clean us up, Brother Roz. And before we go to the show, to the next topic of the CIA in Hollywood and the Pentagon in Hollywood, go and clean us up, Brother Roz. We're waiting on it.
Yes, no problem. Actually, everything that Brother Rio just said, I talked about on Friday. I said they've been getting rid of black farmers in record numbers in this country over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I said what they're going to do is invite the quote-unquote white South African farmers to take over that land. Now, they're going to also be classified as African American. So they're going to also get the benefits of being considered an African American. That's why they put that in the paper a few weeks back. And I think it was Thomas who talked about that they call him an African American. And that's the other benefit to it. And then I said, on top of that, imagine some of these white South Africans don't want to be farmers. They want to be officers of the law. So anywhere near you, you're going to come across some boer that wants to crack you upside your head like it's 1980 South Africa.
Right.
And you can't do nothing about it because he's falling right in line with the Anglo-Saxons, the WASPs, and all the other, white groups that become officers to terrorize and murder black people. Now, the other thing that I wanted to speak about to tie this all up was when you guys were talking about taking back of the land. This is what I was looking at as a barometer that I didn't discuss for Friday, and I'm going to discuss it now. When black people were fighting the South Africans, the white people in South Africa, to try and get some human rights, they were killing other black people who were assisting the white people. Remember, they had that they used to call it a necktie, mm-hmm. where they would put the tire on you, douse it with gasoline, and then set you on fire watch you burn to death. That was a South African practice reserved specifically for who they would dub race traitors, people who were turning against black people to help the system of white supremacy. So if you were going on these wholesale murder sprees of your own people because you saw them as traitors, but yet the people who actually took your land and genocided you, you're going to court? Really?
Oh.
You're going to court against the people who Shaka Zulu was warning you about when he had those visions. They're coming. These ghost people are coming. We need to consolidate our groups to one massive army and prepare for what's coming. So ever since then, he was talking about it. And when they came here, you were killing your own people with reckless abandon for assisting the white people to take over. Because like I said, every people who are dominated and colonized, you must have traitors from the group that's being dominated and colonized. So they were going after those people with a vengeance. And there was video footage of it. But yet, to take the land back from these very criminals, you're going to their court system, and that's exactly what I was speaking about before. Mm-hmm. Our approach is that of a less than people in our own land. We have to go to court to ask you for something that you murdered, raped, and pillaged to take.
Sure, right.
But yet it's no problem killing someone else who looks like you.
Right.
No problem at all, which is exactly what we do here.
Yeah.
You got gangbangers in every hood that black people live in, but they killing black people. They're not turning their guns on the people, the slave catchers that are coming into the neighborhood,
right.
kidnapping black people and putting them in slavery.
Right.
They're not doing it with them. So it's the same. That's what I mean. Like, across the planet, the mentality is the same. And until we change that, and that's why I think colonizer is good, because it automatically lets you know they're the enemy. They stand out because they don't belong on top of their pale, gnarled skin.
Yes.
So that's why I think the language will change the mentality, which will change the approach. Once you know that, wait a minute, I'm dealing with a criminal. I don't have to go to court to deal with you. I don't have to ask you to give me nothing. I'm taking it. And even if I got to take your head to take it, I'm taking it.
Yes.
Because that's what you did when you got here.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing. I'll mute my line, brothers.
I agree with you.
Brother Roz, I believe. Oh, go ahead, Brother Tom.
No, you good. Go ahead, Brother Real.
I believe that sentiment was echoed within the movie Black Panther when T'Challa and I can't remember the CIA agent's name. The CIA commented to T'Challa, you know, to the woman, you know, see, honey, he's being diplomatic, you know,
right.
And he went in there and he questioned them, and they had to bug the CIA agent to get the information that they were looking for. What did Killmonger do? Killmonger went in, he had an agenda, he went in and he took what he needed to fulfill that agenda. To me, that was the play against being diplomatic, and as opposed to, you know, having the means to do it and go ahead and doing it.
Yes, sir. And Brother Rio, you cannot deny what Brother Roz just said. You have, you know, black folk that are our melanated people that are willing to go aggressively after each other, but give the European who was causing all the oppression and death a pass. Right now, and even in this country, you have white people that can go into urban areas or black areas where brothers are chilling and be safe. And you have black folk or melanated people who ride in those areas at different times and may end up losing their lives. So we have the same scenario in existence all over the globe, that fear of white brutality, that fear of white oppression, it sticks into the mind of melanated people worldwide. And we have to throw that fear down and step forward and understand that life is eternal and energy is eternal. And we have to quit identifying with the ego of our personality that wants to be here for forever and understand that our soul lives in eternity. Brother Rio, on that note, we're about to go to a quick station identification break, and we're going to come back with our second half of the show. It's going to be on the Pentagon and the CIA and their relationship to Hollywood and their propaganda films that are promoting military and war, and it's not just entertainment. So Melanated Roots, 8 to 10 every Monday, and we're going to go to a quick break, and we will be right back.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. Oh,
views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Welcome, welcome back, everyone, to the Melanated Roots Radio Show. We are on every Monday from 8 to 10. You also can email us at melanatedroots9@gmail.com if you would like to discuss or at least suggest some topics or some information that we should cover. We are very much open to the ideas and concepts of the Black Talk Radio family. So hit us up if there's some topic or discussion that you feel that is pertinent and we need to have. Okay, Brother Rio, we about to slide on to our next topic. And the next topic is exclusive documents expose how Hollywood promotes war on behalf of the Pentagon, CIA, and the NSA. So, Brother Rio, I'm going to hand it over to you. And we're going to go ahead. I would like the family to take into consideration the recent movie Black Panther, especially when we're looking at the concept of Hollywood and the Pentagon is controlling all aspects of movies that are being made. Go ahead and slide with it, Brother Rio.
Well, Brother Tommy, you so eloquently put, you know, I think it's a very good segue. You know, one of the symptoms that we can definitely identify and agree with in terms of gentrification is, you know, when you when you rolling down the street and all of a sudden you look to your left and you see a Becky Sue, you know, out late at night,
walking
early
the dog
in the morning on a little jog with a little schnauzer, you know, or shiatsu or what have you, and you know, whenever you know she's feeling comfortable enough to go out for, you know, a late night jog, change is gonna come. Change is definitely coming.
Yes, sir.
And in the same breath, you know that you couldn't be caught out that late at night by yourself walking down the streets because you know, you probably, you know, gonna be the victim of a robbery or some of that nature. Now, why the residents of that neighborhood that look like you, understand you're in the same plight, why they would think that you got something a little bit more valuable than Becky Sue, hey, I don't know. But, you know, I think
Brother Rio,
covering the propaganda that goes on in films can kind of shed some light onto the masses of psychosis that we observe in our own communities and with our own people.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an article that's coming from medium.com and Insurgents Intelligence. And it's an exclusive document that exposed how Hollywood promotes war on behalf of the Pentagon, CIA, and the NSA. But I believe that the implications can be very far reaching and do spill over into other categories. And give me a second. I'm going to go ahead and post this in the chat room for the family, and they can check that article out at their leisure. All right. U.S. military intelligence agencies have influenced over 1,800 movies and TV shows. Tom Secker and Matthew Alford, who are the authors of this article, report on their astonishing findings from trawling through thousands of new U.S. military and intelligence documents obtained under the Freedom of Information Act. The documents reveal for the first time the vast scale of U.S. government control in Hollywood, including the ability to manipulate scripts or even prevent films too critical of the Pentagon from being made, not to mention influencing some of the most popular film franchises in recent history. This raises new questions, not only about the way censorship works in the modern entertainment industry, but also about Hollywood's little-known role as a propaganda machine for the U.S. national security apparatus. What do you think about that, Brother Tommy?
I think what it has to do is let everybody know that you're just not being entertained.
Exactly. You know, these documents, for the first time, they demonstrate that the U.S. government has worked behind the scenes of over 800 major movies and more than 1,000 TV titles. The previous best estimate in a dark academic book way back in 2005 was that the Pentagon had worked on less than 600 films and an unspecified handful of television shows. The CIA's role was assumed to be just a dozen or so productions until very good books like Teresa Jenkins and Simon Wilmot's were published in 2016. But even then, they missed and underplayed important cases, including Charlie Wilson's War and Meet the Parents. In the Meet the Parents, isn't that the one with Ben Stiller?
Yeah.
The comedy.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. Something as simple as that, right? Yeah, that comedy. Why would they need to have a control on that when it was just a really stupid, odd comedy, so to speak? But obviously, not really.
Right. So that's just to let the people know that it's not just war and technology films. You know, they're getting their hands into pretty much all facets of Hollywood. So alongside the massive scale of these operations, our new book called National Security Cinema details how U.S. government involvement also includes script rewrites on some of the biggest and most popular films, including James Bond, the Transformers franchise, and movies from the Marvel and DC cinematic universes. A similar influence is exerted over military-supported TV, which ranges from Hawaii Five-O, America's Got Talent,
wow,
Oprah and Jay Leno, to Cupcake Wars, cooking shows, Brother Tommy.
Wow.
Along with numerous documentaries by PBS, the History Channel, and the BBC.
Total programming,
you know. So, it goes on to say the CIA even helped to make an episode of Top Chef that was hosted at Langley, featuring the CIA director, Leon Panetta, who was shown as having to skip dessert to attend to vital business. Was this scene real, or was it a dramatic statement for the cameras? What you thinking so far, brother?
Wow. I mean, it just lets you know that every time we turn on the TV, we are being programmed or we are being influenced to think a certain way. That they are controlling the minds of the masses. And me and my brother was talking, and mind control is the number one game that is going on in America. How can you keep the indigenous people in this country stripped of who they are and what they are? not understanding that this is their land or their heritage and culture, and how deep that their culture goes back here in the Americas, not Africa. Let's forget about going back to Africa for right now. We know, you know what I'm saying, just our history here, you know, they're making sure that the influencing of our mindset is making us just sit back and relax and entertain from the fact that we are being oppressed and worked to death and our energy is being stolen. And then we get home, we flick on the TV, and then they continue to program us even more.
Yes, sir. So now they're about to go into a little bit of an explanation as to how this is done.
Okay.
So the military's political censorship of Hollywood. When a writer or a producer approaches the Pentagon and asks for access to military assets to help make their film, they have to submit their script to the entertainment liaison offices for vetting. Ultimately, the man with the final say is Phil Strub, the Department of Defense's DOD Chief Hollywood Liaison.
Hold on, Brother Rio. Let me say something about that. I did some research on Phil Strub last night when I was just trying to look it over things. And this dude has basically rewritten scripts or made them go back and rewrite scripts for thousands of movies to the point to where hey, you're not he needs to change out the gun in this movie, get out of that gun and put this gun in his hand. If this white soldier dies, he has to kill 30 melanated people before you even show a white soldier dying. This Phil Strub dude is serious, and he's been a part of thousands of movies and scripts that have gone through his desk. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So what I did at this point was I jumped over to the CIA's official website. And this is how they define the entertainment industry and the liaison. Reads just like an advertisement, pretty much. As an organization that plays a key role in America's defense, the CIA is a frequent subject of books, motion pictures, documentaries, and other creative ventures. For years, artists from across the entertainment industry, actors, authors, directors, producers, screenwriters, and others, have been in touch with the CIA to gain a better understanding of our intelligence mission. Our goal is an accurate portrayal of the men and women of the CIA and the skill, innovation, daring, and commitment to public service that defines them. If you are part of the entertainment industry and are working on a project that deals with the CIA, the agency may be able to help you. We are in a position to give greater authenticity to scripts, stories, and other products in development. That can mean answering questions, debunking myths, or arranging visits to the CIA to meet the people who know intelligence. It's past, present, and future. In some cases, we permit filming on our headquarters compound. We can also provide stock footage of locations within and around our main building. Intelligence is challenging, exciting, and essential. To better convey that reality, the CIA is ready for a constructive dialogue with a broad range of creative talents. And then they go so far as to looking for inspiration for a new film or book. Our entertainment industry liaison offers recommendations here. Check back often for his new picks. So what he has down for a current pick for a next possible screenwrite, a book, or a movie is The Vilification and Vindication of Colonel Kuklinski, Kuklinski. I have no idea who that is, but, you know, if it pops up in a movie within the next 5 years, we kind of already know where the idea that came from. If they have an idea, I'm pretty sure they already have a blueprint or maybe even a screenwrite already laid out. So that's how they advertise themselves, but it gives them the power that if there are characters, action, or dialogue that the DOD don't approve of, then the filmmaker has to make changes to accommodate the military's demands. If they refuse, then the Pentagon packs up his toys and goes home. To obtain full cooperation, the producers have to sign contracts, production assistance agreements, which lock them into using a military-approved version of the script.
Mm.
They also give an example that can this can lead to arguments when actors and directors ad-lib or improvise outside of this approved screenplay. So whenever you hear about, you know, finicky actors and their creative flow being stifled, you know, sometimes it's not just the director. It's Strub saying that, you know, no, we can't have that. And this is and Strub is often on the screen sets observing, and he will intervene saying that's not going to work. We're going to have to change that. He did it on Iron Man, and he's done it on countless other film sets. I'm not able to see the board, Brother Tommy. Do you see anybody that has their hand raised? Or
yeah,
do you have
yeah,
a comment
we do.
Or anything?
Let me say something. I see. I'm gonna go to you. Come to you in a second, Brother Ross. You know, I think that we have to understand that Hollywood is all about propaganda, and a lot of these films, especially their military films, are recruitment films. Films that they're using to bring people on board. Matter of fact, they said, what was that Tom Cruise movie where he was a fighter pilot?
Top Gun.
Top Gun. They said that that was one of the biggest recruitment tools that they have used in a long time, that people looking to sign up for the military, and they are putting this Zero Dark 30, the sniper movie, Black Hawk Down. You know, none of these movies are factually correct. They're just propaganda military tools for recruitment. And, you know, the fact that the masses of the people don't understand that they're just being programmed, being mind controlled to believe that the military is the greatest force of good in the world. And we just have to wake up and understand, you know, what's really going on. I see that a lot of conscious brothers and sisters are really decoding these movies and breaking them down. And that's now that now I look back, that's why I see the Black Panther. It was literally just to say, hey, y'all can't come with this aggressive kill the world, take over from white folk type stuff that Killmonger's on. Y'all got to come with this diplomatic, by the rules, by the laws concept. That's the only way that we're going to accept y'all, if you act diplomatically towards us. But this ideal of taking our heads off, we cannot show that to the world. We have to show that as something that is barbaric. Even though we do it, Europeans, even though they do it, they have to show Black folk doing it as barbaric, and Black folk have to be, or melanated people have to be, diplomatic. It's total programming, Brother Rio. And on that note, we're gonna go to Brother Ross. What's going on, Brother Ross?
Yes, thank you. I just had to unmute myself.
Yes, sir.
Y'all hit on a few things with what you were saying, especially with that article. I think part of what you were discussing kind of ties into what we had talked about before, Brother Tommy, about I mentioned to you that Brother Robert X had a phrase that I kind of commandeer, but I always pay it forward by giving him his proper due. He says that Black people are data rich and information poor. And to me, when you look at that Google thing, it's the same thing. You hear even a lot of our researchers say, oh, Google this, Google that, Google. What do you think Google is? It's a tool of the same people. And it has artificial intelligence that's geared towards your personal preferences. So if you have an incorrect position or something, you're going to get a self-fulfilling prophecy of wrong information from Google, because it's designed to cater to your personal taste.
Yes, sir.
But yet, tons of people are running around saying, Google, Google, Google. And that's why reading books is most important. And Google can be a supplement, because when you're able to understand concepts and ideas and science and history and all of these things from the people who didn't have Google, who had to do the empirical research, this is before all of this stuff, you can kind of set that as a foundation and then supplement that education by using you know, the media like Google to kind of bolster that understanding. But if you going into just Googling something and you really don't understand the subject and you have your own preconceived notions about it, the artificial intelligence is geared towards finding out those preconceived notions and to fulfill them. So the person partaking of that knowledge thinks that they're getting authentic information and they're spewing it everywhere, spewing it. And then later on, when somebody else has a different perception than yours and they do a search and they get different information that refutes that, and it might even be documented or it might not, but the idea is that it's still there. And if that person has a foundation in understanding things from reading text written by people who did the work, then it's a whole different thing. So to me, the Google thing ties into this discussion. The other part to me, too, is what you were talking about with the CIA giving people scripts and doctoring scripts. That's something that I know about. When you read the book, what's the brother's name? It was a book that Dr. Wilson said you should read before reading her book and Neely Fuller's book. The FBI surveillance of black people. It's an author. His name starts with a K. He was interviewed on the Cavs. I'm forgetting off the top of my head.
Okay.
But ultimately, when you were talking about in that book, he actually discusses the CIA actually rewriting entire articles. So like the New York Times and so-called reputable journalistic publications. And what you're looking at is white validation, because they said that the CIA can basically give you, bolster the credibility of what you're doing based on the fact that you're working with the CIA. So that's white validation via the corporate propaganda structure known as the CIA. Then on top of that, you also said something about them modifying the scripts. That is what you would call GMO of film. That's Monsanto film behavior. They're genetically modifying the script to say what they wanted to say to make sure that the proper propaganda is getting to the people. So that is the genetic modification of your script. Whoever it is who wrote the script, once the CIA gets their hands on it and you sign those contracts, remember I told you, they con you and send you down the wrong track. So it's a contract. They're conning you from the beginning. So this is what you're talking about. And in reference to the Black Panther film, you just really hit the nail on the head for me in this respect.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Panther shows black people in a position where they're autonomous, fighting for themselves, and able to defeat white people to some degree. This is the biggest terror for white people, to see black people in charge and able to fight back effectively against their system is horrifying to them. So this was put out there also as a wake-up call to white people. Now let's fast forward that all the way to South Africa and them taking the land from white people. That's what Black Panther looks like in action. Mm. Black people kicking white people off their land and having them beg other white people to take their farmers in. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So the propaganda there is, this is what this would look like. We would not be able to beat these people if they were in a position of autonomy. They would run things, and we don't want that. And for the people, the white people who've done the work, quote-unquote white people that have done the work in stealing other people's land, black people rising up and trying to do effective battle against the system of white supremacy starts with a premise like South Africans wanting to take their farmland back. So the Black Panther was a twofold thing. It was a wake-up call to white people, and it was a way of fooling black people into thinking that, first of all, like you said, we're not supposed to kill white people. We're supposed to use diplomacy.
Right.
They can run roughshod all over you all for millennia. For you know, it doesn't matter, as long as it's them doing the dominating. Once it's you trying to even the playing field and take back your human rights, then at that point it's a problem.
You're barbaric.
Have to be diplomatic about it. So that's what I wanted to say. Thanks, good brothers. I will mute myself. Brilliant conversation.
Yes, sir.
Brother Wise.
Yes, sir.
As well as the let's look at this. Let's look at those scenarios again. Earlier I brought up you know, the diplomatic or, you know, T'Challa's way of trying to get Agent or the Claws, the Renegade Claws. When Killmonger wanted one of them, he just went and took him. Killmonger had a goal, and his goal involved what? Slaying Claws, who, you know, was a non-Melanite. And his continued goal was to arm the people around the world to to be able to do the same. At the end of the movie, a CIA agent was involved in, and he had a hand in saving Wakanda from Killmonger and the people who were fighting to overthrow that regime. So on one hand, you got somebody with the agenda, you know, gonna be free by any means necessary. I don't care how many people or how many non-Melanites we're gonna have to kill. And on the other hand, you got the Melanite in camp holding down the regime, serving a purpose, ensuring his survival, and the people who he works for, there's going to be some type of relationship. So, again, you know, it ain't going to be none of this mindset that y'all just going to kick us out and we're just going to run with our tail between our legs, or we're going to get, you know, blasted out of existence. You know, we going to be a part of whatever it is y'all establishing, period. We always going to have a place with y'all. Y'all can't have no world without us.
Mm.
Some little mind games I saw them playing as well.
Yeah.
Brother Tom, you got any thoughts?
No, I don't have no thoughts. Brother Thomas, let's hear your thoughts.
Sorry, I'm doing laundry. Is it too loud down here?
No, you good.
No, you good, brother.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, so what you guys were talking about earlier, the blacks, and see, I have a problem with the term African-American. Mm-hmm. For the simple fact that I used to work with a white dude who was from South Africa, and he was white. I mean, blonde hair, blue-eyed, freckled. But he said that he was able to get a lot of assistance in things like school and stuff, posing as an African-American. Mm-hmm. And also had an Arabic, Egyptian teacher, Miss Youssef, and she was a Christian Egyptian, but she would not call Egypt a part of Africa. She said it was Mesopotamia. I used to argue with her all the time in class about this. She told me one day, you know, I was able to go to school and everything here because I was an African American. So I just think that that term, you know, was probably given to us 50 or whenever they, you know, gave that, actually started putting that on paper. They probably were setting it up for the day that these farmers were coming over here. I mean, this is how far in advance these people think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put anything past them. So that's one of the reasons why I hate that word, other than the fact that also black Africans could also be African Americans, but I won't even touch on that. I have a totally different outlook on this CIA thing. And movies, it's a out the wall type of. So I won't even get into that. But the current system of white supremacy we live in is based off a visual epic. All great societies is built off an epic story.
Mm.
If you don't have an epic story, you don't have a great society. The first epic was written. That was the founding fathers. You know, they chopped down the cherry tree and all that stuff.
Right,
but. The second epic that they came with, the first visual epic ever, is called Birth of a Nation.
Birth of a Nation. Yep.
Yes, sir.
And that's what they, that's what this whole reality is based on. They based this whole reality off Hollywood. I think I kind of tried to touch on that last week. By the time Benaze and them figured it out, I mean, it's just a matter of the CIA, they program our whole reality through television.
Right.
And now through, like Ross said, now through the internet. You know, it's actually, if you think about it, the internet is just the television 30, 40 years ago. You know what I'm saying? They take all of your media and compacted it into one thing. It's like, this is the radio. If you think of all the great things over time, back in the days when people used to listen to the Joe Louis fights, a radio was the greatest invention ever.
Right.
You know, by the time you got the baseball, you know, games on television, you thought you was a big shot. And now you got something in your hand that can do all of that. You know, every song ever made, you could pull up every, you know, it's just, you know, the way things go. So this whole reality is always based off of moving images. The ancients had still images, you know, symbols.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That programs you. Today's symbols are moving at a pace.
Right.
Just up picking up, but your consciousness isn't even picking up. You're not even seeing that image in the background. That's why you could watch a movie 10 times and each time get something different out of it. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was talking to someone the other day, like every time I watch The Godfather, I learn something else. Like, oh man, I didn't even pick up on that before. And I've been watching it 100 times. You know, it's like that whole thing, the way the whole thing moved. And this whole society is based off of that moving images. And the CIA knows this. So how many movies did we get about terrorists before 9/11 happened?
Wow.
We had True Lies. We had The Siege. I mean, we had all these movies pretty much telling us what was going to happen. And a few years ago, what did we get? We got Red Dawn coming back, I think, in 2014. And we had the movie where the Chinese people took over the White House and was trying to kill Jamie Foxx. And, right. You know what I'm saying? So the White House was being taken over by Cobra. You know, and then we get Trump. I mean, and then you get this play on China. And it's been like about 3 or 4 different movies where China was the enemy over the last 5 to 6 years. So they use these movies to program the reality and also to make us, when we see this thing, when we see the school get shot up, we already saw that in a movie.
Right.
We're not even really affected by it because it already affected us subconsciously when we saw that in the movie, and we felt that oh man, that's messed up in the movie. We embedded that in our subconscious brain, and our conscious brain isn't even thinking about it. But when we see that again, it triggers that memory. You know what I'm saying? It's just something that happens. And I'll mute my line. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir. I agree with what he's saying. You know, we're being desensitized. If you look at Brother Rio, the video games, they're extremely violent. If you look at the movies, they're extremely violent. And then when it plays itself out in real life, you know, we look at it and watch it on CNN and be like, ooh, damn. And then next you know, we're just moving on, getting up the next morning, 6 o'clock, you know, bright and early, rubbing our eyes and off to the plantation. We're definitely being
trying to make the donut.
Yeah, we're definitely being programmed and desensitized by these movies. Brother Jerry, what's going on, Brother Jerry? Okay, Brother Jerry.
My apologies.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you,
okay,
bro.
Okay, my fault, man. I had to get myself off mute. I'm operating off of a different phone tonight.
Okay, you good?
All of y'all brothers have brought interesting aspects to the conversation. For me, I wanted to get into what the topic was as far as the CIA being represented within these movies. Brother Thomas just brought up a whole host of different movies that we've all probably seen or at least heard of. Excuse me. And that Red Dawn plays a very big part in today, because I don't know if y'all paid attention, but Donald Trump was glorifying what his name escapes me, but the president of China, Xi Jinping, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Xi, whatever, I can't pronounce it.
Yeah. Trying to make himself the president for life, you know, at least to the end of his life cycle. And then he makes the comment, trying to act like he's joking, maybe we should do that too. But then right along, he says something that will absolutely get him murdered tonight, that we need to go back to the gold standard and let gold be our monetary value instead of the dollar. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about the CIA,
He has them surrounded by him. He has them surrounding him, excuse me, on a daily basis. In contact with them and what have you. And he knows better, but the narcissism that he has for himself makes him wants to do what he wants to do. Now, when we're talking about the politics of everything, I am so waiting for a movie to come out here within this next year to show where the president has done something capable of him being murdered to justify the qualifications of the United States, because this is what he has done. When we think about the person that most of us believe ended slavery, which he did not, Lincoln, and then we think about what black people think are the first, is the first black president. I know a lot of people, it comes to mind, they would think I would be talking about Bill Clinton, but no, JFK. Right. That would be the first black president as far as what people were saying during that time. You know, I'm not that old, but I have very, very old family members. And they make sure that even though they love Bill Clinton for whatever reason, that they make sure that JFK is brought up. And he was killed for that same reason. By who? By the CIA. You know, because he wanted to get rid of the bankers. And this is what Donald Trump is doing right now. So I think all of this stuff are just footsteps or foundations, if you will, to get ready for a bigger event that's getting ready to come. Now, I know y'all down on time, so I just wanted to add that point because I know y'all didn't, I noticed y'all didn't bring that part up. I guess me and Brother Rob will speak about that tomorrow. But I believe that that is a very big part of all of this also. And it may not be. It may just be a good conversation piece. You know, my mind works in all different types of ways. So I'm going to get off of here and I'm going to let y'all close out the show. Appreciate y'all time. Great show as always. And peace to all of the listeners and everybody that chimed in. Thank you for making BTR one of the best radio stations out here in the country and the world, like Brother Scotty would say. Peace.
Yes, sir, Brother Jerry. And Brother Jerry and Brother Roz has a show called Real Life, and they come on every Tuesday at 10 o'clock Eastern Time on Foundational Radio Network, and you can find it as a part of the Black Talk Radio Network family. Yes, sir, Brother Rio. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good. Brother Thomas has his hands up. I think he wanted to respond to something Brother Jerry was saying. What you got for us, Brother Thomas?
No, I didn't want to respond to anything. I just wanted to add one little point I forgot to add. Is another thing they use these movies to do is they plant ideas that they want to accomplish, that they probably can accomplish. And they put it in that movie. And somebody watching it, you know, everyone is going to try to do what they saw in that movie. You know, how many movies did they try to show us a cell phone, or try to show us a smartwatch, or try to show us all this stuff that eventually someone who watched that movie, you know, started working on it and someone else picked up on it. And I think that all this stuff that they bring out is all coming from the ideas in these movies. You know, they want something, they put it in a movie, and they know they have to wait, 20, 30 years to accomplish it.
Mm.
You know, and space is that next place. They've been putting space out there for how many years now? To the point where they actually had to fake the moon landing.
Right.
But, you know, now it's to the point where they have to go. They got to be the guardians of the galaxy now, you know. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir, Brother Thomas. And Brother Rio, I feel, Brother Rio, great discussion. You know, if we don't understand the white supremacy, and like I said, I'm going to take the word supremacy out of my mouth. I'm going to start using white insanity. If we don't understand the white insanity agenda and how they're utilizing this light screen to program those who are giving it its time and its energy. It's programming to the full extent of what programming is. And I just think we just have to recognize that we're not just being entertained to where we can smoke a blunt, drink a beer and sit back and watch something and have a good time and get up the next morning and go to work. No, that movie is influencing you, bro. And that movie is influencing your thoughts and your ideas, which also turn into how your behavior. And then you're now behaving in a manner in which the programming intends. And until we understand that, Brother Rio, I think we're going to be behind the eight ball for a while.
I agree with you, brother. I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to go ahead and take that white out my mouth, too. I'm going to call it, colonized insanity.
Because yes, sir.
That's what we're being infected with.
Yes, sir.
We'll get to, that in another show. I think we can empower ourselves by, again, controlling our own vocabulary and not allowing him to define himself. We can define him, even if it's from our own cultural and community lens. That is one aspect of power that we can reclaim. And, with that under our belt, it empowers us to continue to gain power and to define ourselves, our reality, and have a means of comparison against the psychosis that we're up against on a daily basis, and kind of pull ourselves away from it, because to me that would be the definition of consciousness, to be able to weigh sanity against insanity. Mm-hmm. And we can start to see the things that we are doing and measure in a true sense from our own perspective and communal lens, whether it's productive for ourselves and for our families and for the people around us. But like you said, if we don't have any aspect to measure that against, then we are just being programmed whenever we're watching a movie or a television show or commercials or even reading books.
Right. Yes, sir.
Any type of media.
Yes, sir.
We do have to approach it to be able to decode for ourselves or come amongst ourselves and help each other decode the information that we're being bombarded with. Looks like Brother Jerry's got something he want to say real quick. Go ahead, Brother Jerry.
Yeah, real quick, man. While we talking about all of this programming and what have you, I wanted to make sure that everybody knew about this. The last surviving member of Tulsa, Oklahoma, the race riots, mm-hmm. What a race massacre. She died today. Her name was Hazel Smith Jones. She was the last survivor of that particular attack on Black Wall Street here in the United States. And for those of you who don't know, this lady has done many speeches, spoke about what happened, that she remembered because she was a child when it happened, what happened there that she remembers, and the onslaught of racism that she had to deal with after it was over, because it wasn't over once the houses was put out from the fires. So we have lost the ancestor, and I think that it may not be important to some people. Me, myself, I don't have nothing to say to her other than thank you, because hopefully somebody use that information that she gave them to pass that information along so that we could at least read about it later on. So I just wanted to add that last little left tonight. And once again, great show, brothers. Everybody had some constructive comments to add. And y'all always come up with the most indifferent conversations, and they always need to be had. So
thank you, brothers, for doing what you're doing. And we'll see you next week, yeah?
Yes, sir, Brother Jerry. And I think that was wonderful, man, you know, because we are a people that have love and respect and reverence for our people who pass into the ancestral realm. We understand that she is now working on our behalf in the realm of the divine, and that we can call on her spirit and her strength and her wisdom to guide us. And we definitely pour libation out for her and say Ashe in her memory. And we know that she is now on the other side fighting on our behalf. So, Brother Jerry, I definitely appreciate you for recognizing that. Matter of fact, there was a movie that just came out called Coco. It's a cartoon movie, and I think a lot of people should look at it. And one of the core aspects of the movie is that when our people pass over into the realm of the ancestors, that we have to continue to speak their name so that they can continue to live on in our hearts, in our minds, and in our spirits. And that's what we're going to do today. And we just welcome her into the ancestral realm. And we know that she is now fighting on our behalf on a whole nother level. I would like to say, as we wind down the show, peace to Brother Roz, much love, much respect. Always, we build constantly. Peace, love, and respect to Brother Thomas. Great mind, great spirit for freedom fighting and researching and understanding to break this yoke for our people. Much love to him at all times. Brother Jerry, Sister Red, and all those who made a comment tonight, I greatly appreciate you guys' energy and what you guys bring to the table. And we're going to continue to bring shows that we think that are enlightening to our people and continue to discuss topics that need to be discussed. We are being mind controlled. We are being programmed. We are being attacked from all sides. We have no choice but to stand up. And I keep saying all the time, like Bob Marley says, stand up, O fallen fighters, rise and take your stance again. He who fights and runs away lives to fight another day. Go ahead and close us out, Brother Rio.
I think that the sentiments that you shared were very on point, brother. And I also want to just point out that that is another way of looking at immortality. We know that we are spiritually immortal because there is no beginning and there is no end. What came from the all is going to return to the all. So we've been here and we always shall be. But to have our essence remembered in the hearts of our loved ones and to know that we had an effect on people on this realm, there can be no greater gift that we can give to each other. And the way that we have traditionally recognized that and gave honor to that is by remembering our loved ones and remembering those who have had a profound effect on us personally, and as well as recognition for what they have done for us communally. I also want to point out that even though we are recognizing that we are under mind control, there are higher powers also at play, one of those powers being our ancestors. So we can always find a theme or a golden thread within all of this propaganda, because at the end of the day, they are also being used as puppets for us to learn what it is we're supposed to be learning to pass on to the next generation so that what can occur is supposed to occur. So there's no accident that we are here now joining together in intelligence and understanding so that we can benefit each other and pass things on to the community. So with that being said, we will be here next week, Monday from 8 to 10 with another live show for you. And please join us in the conversation, and please support the BTR community so that we can continue to have a voice and we can also continue to rise and grow together. Be safe, take care of yourself, and let's take care of each other. Until next week, peace.
Peace.
And hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.